I am an everyday a touch of mascara kind of gal, though I love a full glam moment. So whether I'm simply just adding my Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara by Thrive Cosmetics, or adding their highlighter, eyeliner, or eyeshadow to my full glam, Thrive has been my go-to since 2020 for most of my makeup products, so that's why I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this episode. And why do I love them? Well, not only is their quality and their application just chef's kiss, but also the causes they support. In fact, it's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics. C-A-U-S-E Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare exist to empower their customers, employees, and giving partners to live their most confident lives. And so they believe in responsive giving. And so thanks to your support, they either donate their high performance products or much needed funds to help communities thrive. Can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. Plus, it's incredibly easy to remove. Just a gentle wash with warm water, and it doesn't leave any smudges. The nourishing ingredients also support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And let me tell you, as someone with blonde eyebrows, I really do appreciate the natural look of their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. So just a few strokes to the line of your brows and fill in any sparse areas, and it comes with a little spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows afterwards. So with 8 shades to choose from, you'll always find the perfect match for your natural brow hair color. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order. As someone who is so excited to garden this spring, yet really wants top quality soil, I'm really excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine, which is an esteemed brand renowned for its organic soil offerings. And if you're seeking to infuse your home environment with a nourishing essence that promotes flourishing plant life, you're gonna wanna listen to this, because with over 28 years of expertise, Coast of Maine has meticulously crafted soils sourced from oceanic waters and farms certified for organic cultivation. It's so nice to find such a sustainable, eco-friendly brand who really emphasizes the importance of natural ingredients to enrich their soil. And I mean, they have, like I said, top quality. With rigorous quality control and OMRI listed certification, their diverse range of products caters to all gardening needs. Most of our soils may lack appropriate nutrients for success for our plants, and our plants need this. We want to regenerate the healthy microbes in our soils to set up for gardening success and just for our plants to thrive. So if we add Coast of Maine products, this will indeed help. Whether you're planting trees or shrubs or perennials in your yard, adding Coast of Maine soil in your planting holes leads to a long, slow feeding of your plants, making them self-sufficient and vibrant, which we love. Let's say you want a vegetable garden. Not only will you receive abundant harvests, but there will be less feeding and maintenance throughout the season. Amazing. You know that everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. And then you get to also feel good about their sourcing, as I'm so thankful they provide natural ingredients, because they will never include household waste or biosolids. And we know that nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, cultivated from products and practices rooted in Coast of Maine. And so they will continually perfect the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and the place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. We love supporting local, and the products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. So Coast of Maine knows goes from beginner to expert. Anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. And their products make organic gardening simple and approachable so we can all garden. So let's get to growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. That's Coast of Maine, like the state with an E, coastofmaine.com.
Self-worth stuff as human beings. It's just, you know, some of us manage it better and some of us aren't run by it. Does it have me or do I have it? Once in a while, you know, I'll have a thought that's an old thought and I'll go, good for them. And I love my life. I love my life. And here's the thing, I love my lifestyle. And I used to think that I had to have a certain amount of money to live the lifestyle I'm living. You know, I had to be a certain place. I had to be with a certain person. I had to be, you know, whatever it was. And then I realized it goes back to just be happy. Just be what you want to be now in this moment and live the life you want to live now in this moment, whether you're making, you know, $25,000 a year or $100,000.
Now let the magic begin. Hello, Soul Tribe. It's Raquel. And in this moment, I just want to encourage you to take deep, conscious breaths and observe the presence of beauty that surrounds you in this present moment, whatever it may be. Perhaps you see a variety of colors and interesting shapes or life, any other life, whether it be people or trees or plants or little bugs, whatever that may be, just simply observe whatever your surrounding is in this present moment. And perhaps you're in your room or office space or an unfamiliar place like an Airbnb, but you are sitting in comfort and you are safe. And just to be aware of the safety of the space you're in. And wherever you are, and you take this moment to observe the beauty in this present moment that surrounds you, it is a simple reminder, one of the simplest ways to uplift our spirits and just feel a little more aligned. And it's just amazing how even just a small moment of really embracing your present moment, how much that may change your day and your tomorrow. So if you can remember to do this from time to time, just taking a moment to really observe and embrace the present moment, whatever it is, focusing on perhaps your entire surrounding or just one piece of your beautiful surrounding, just see what may transpire inside. Anyways, my, today's beautiful, beyond beautiful guest takes up a ginormous space in my heart. She's not only one of my nearest and dearest friends, but I mean, she's family. She's family. She's my godmama, my fairy godmama, who has been a big supporter in both my professional and especially personal life. And we all deserve to have a dose of people that we can really lean on for all things. And I happen to have a few, and Joni Caldwell Lerner is one of them. Some of you may already be familiar with Joni. You may know she is the mother of a beautiful soul walking this earth. My former co-host Alexandra, which you may know her as Ali Michelle. And in a sense, Your Own Magic, this podcast is Joni's grandchild. And she has been a voice on this podcast before, actually,
in the holiday episode of 2017 with Joni and Allie and Joni's goddaughter and Allie's godsister Lex and I. And I am beyond excited to announce that Joni is launching her new podcast, Spiritual Aliveness with Joni. I love that title. And we've been working on it, and I've been helping her launch it this week. And just to see this finally unfold is making my little beatbox in my chest sing. We've already pressed the publish button, but in the podcast world, you know, iTunes is busy, Spotify is busy, Android is busy, so we have to wait for them to approve it, which is fine. It will come out in divine timing. So when it is, I will make sure that it is linked in the show notes for you, and also I will make a little note of it to remind you in next week's episode in the introduction. Ooh, and another piece of magic to keep a lookout for is the Your Own Magic Retreat in Bali 2019 announcement. It's finally happening. My soul is telling me finally it's about time. So it is not only hosted by me, but also a past guest, a powerful spiritual medium and channel, Bree Melanson. Ugh, after I had one of the most otherworldly and powerful experiences doing breath work with her in London, I knew that she was the one I had to make this happen with. So yeah. Ooh, and side note, if you want to be one of the first to have the application sent to your email, because we're going to be doing a first come, first serve basis, email retreats@yourownmagic.life. So if you're interested, email before I let the social media world know. And somebody else who I have powerful experiences with, allow me to reintroduce you to the wise soul of Joni. And you'll hear the story how this spark of inspiration came into fruition and how she released her fear of releasing a podcast, and now she is making it happen no matter what. I go to Joni for a reason. She's a wise, wise soul who deeply listens and really sees you, sees past this human vessel and into your soul, and really gets the depth of you and connects to the heart of you. And that's what makes her an amazing coach. And if you ever get a chance to work with her, I'm just saying, your soul will be so happy. But in this episode, you'll hear Joni's very inspiring story, including her transformational, huge weight loss story and experience, where she exposes it here on the podcast for the first time, her sobriety journey, her love journey, and how she decided to choose happiness. And perhaps that happiness was the diet that transformed her entire life, and the importance of reinventing yourself, and why death of our stories that hold us back is key to our happiness, and the power of sitting with boredom and our discomfort, and why gratitude is of utmost importance to shifting the light in our day. And also, a cherry on top, many stories of Allie that may make Allie blush. And the importance of not holding on to secrets and why. And how she consciously created and manifested the man in her life. And I was there to bear witness to this creation, so otherworldly. And it was another proof in the pudding of the power of manifestation and conscious creation. And just a very, very inspiring episode with so much gold. And I can't wait for you to be reintroduced to her and have her story told. And again, her podcast, Spiritual Aliveness with Joni, I will link it in the show notes. She also interviewed me and got a lot of tea out of me. And of course, my vulnerability for healing you, which I love to do. Now, for the yummy review of the week by Natal Puff, her 5-star review. This podcast is a lifesaver. I found this podcast while first really diving into spiritual books and meditation, and while I have been in a slump lately and having problems connecting to source, Raquel speaks and teaches in a way that is so non-judgmental that you always feel accepted while listening, no matter what stage in your life you're in. She has the voice of an angel and can really feel her truth and love radiating out of her through your speakers, whatever you may listen to her on. I always look forward to new episodes and trying out new practices to add to my own. Thank you so much, Raquel and Allie in the beginning, for this one-of-a-kind, amazing, valuable podcast. Thank you. And these words are from an angel as well. This made me feel so loved and listened to, too, and it means the world. And I think it's amazing that you're also trying out many of the practices to see what resonates with you, because that's the whole purpose behind having many tools on a podcast. You know, we pick and choose like a buffet, and some may resonate and some may not. And some may resonate later in another season of our life. And that's beautiful, just as it is. So I appreciate you and your soul. Man, and this just popped to my mind because Joni brought this to my attention, I believe on her podcast, like I did in the Q&A where I sprinkled in your voices for the anniversary Q&A. I would love to continue to sprinkle in some of your voices too, so feel free to send your voice on how this podcast may have impacted your life and advice for our listeners on how they can create their own magic to hello@yourownmagic.life. And in upcoming episodes, I will sprinkle you in. Why not? It's fun. And also for any of you who this podcast brings value to, if anything that has been shared has helped you in any way and you have been feeling this nudge to leave a rate and review, it would mean the world to me, as this will obviously not only light up my spirit, but also help the podcast in more ways than you even know. And of course, I will accept that gift from you and hopefully keep gifting you a lot of value in return in the podcast. It only takes a few minutes, as many moments you desire, and the review can be short or long as you please. And now it is time to let the magic begin with Joni Caldwell Lerner. Just imagine what may unfold in a year from now.
Oh, I know. I definitely want to talk to you about that.
And also, this is an interview, by the way, I have been looking forward to so much for months now. Because you know me, you get me, and I know you, and I get you, and I love you.
Oh, I love you. I know. And oh, thank you. I mean, I'm so grateful to you. Just
No words. There's
I know,
no words.
Right? You're so...
We also have these weekly chats that people should know about as we coach each other, and we just hold space for one another, and we just give each other permission to speak from our heart and our truth. And to me, you're truly not only one of my nearest and dearest friends, but also someone I love to call my fairy godmama.
Well, I totally adopted you. So you are my fairy godchild. And I love our calls. I mean, you know, we usually take half and half, then one of us goes first. And, you know, it's whatever you up for you. And then most of this has been about walking me through the podcast thing and learning how to do this and breaking through my fears. And I mean, it was your idea to begin with. A year ago.
I know. I was like, why don't you just start a podcast?
I'm like, fly to the moon. That'd be good.
Well, guess what? You're on the moon, baby. You're on the moon.
Uh-huh.
I'm truly just looking forward to the Soul Tribe to not only listen to your magic again, hear your magic again, but really get a deeper understanding of you and just fall in love with your soul. And when they listen to your new podcast, Spiritual Aliveness, they'll really realize the unicorn you are.
I love them, by the way. I I'm on the Facebook group too. So
every
now and then, and I just know how much you love them and the voice that you have as a tribe have created. I mean, it started off at let's do a little Facebook group.
And that's the thing. Sure, we just, typed in the name on Facebook and created the group, but really the entire voice of the group, like you just said, was really them that created the space.
Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely. And they call themselves Yomis. I mean, it's just, I guess, what strikes me, and I really wanted to say this, so I'm glad you brought it up, is the love that they create and the way they hold each other. If the world held each other that way, there would be no war. There would be no differences. There would need, not be that person lives there and that person's that color. And there would be none of that. It's all, hey, gosh, I'm going through this. Can anybody have an experience of that? And they're like, yeah, me, yo. And it's, I love you and you're going to be fine. You're going to get through it. And let's hold each other up. I mean, think of that. If the world was a giant Yomi group, there was no problem. You planted the seed and they took off with it, which is exactly what I know you. I mean, that's exactly what you wanted. And so good for you.
I'm crying. I have tears in my eyes. I'm holding my heart. I couldn't stop laughing. And it's just the world is clearly, it can be such a very painful place, and the way the soul, all these souls, these Yomi souls, what they carry, the world is just not careful with others. The world is not careful with other beings and their feelings. And so it's hard. It's hard to be here when you are, a lot of them are introverts, perhaps some are extroverts, but just loving and sensitive. Many of them are sensitive souls, and that's a hard place to be in this world. And so thank you for recognizing that.
An introvert, all that means is that I'm an introvert. I have to go back into my cave to recharge so that I can go out and go, hey, but some people are extroverts and they recharge being out there. So neither is better or worse or, good or bad. It's just who we are. And then the other cool thing is, I can look at the world and go, man, it's just, there's a big mess going on, right? But what I realize, and I've been going through a shamanic journey also right now and going through a whole lot of stuff, is just realizing that we're all dreamers and we all came in with these lessons and we all came in with, choosing our families. You've talked about that on your podcast. I mean, we choose these lives to learn these lessons. So instead of, I used to feel like responsible or bad or, sad or whatever it is. I just, okay, what's my part? What do I need to learn to be a better person? And that is somehow going to ripple out to other people so that they can learn and that they can get better and they can feel better and they can vibrate higher. And the more we do that, and that's why the Yom tribe is so important and every other tribe that's coming from love, that's coming from, I want to make a difference. I want this to be a better place. I mean, it's just so I can look at the negative stuff going on, but I don't focus there at all. So if I'm driving my race car, I may have said this before, but I don't look at the wall because I'm going to drive right into it. So I can acknowledge that's going on, but that's not where I'm driving my car. I'm going to go over here with a Yom drive.
Hell yeah. And also, I just have a feeling your soul, Joni, is so happy, so, so happy with the being that you've become and recognizing your truth that you are finally living. Your heart. Okay, let's go back a bit. Your heart. You have been through the depths of the mud and still not only managed to trudge heavy steps through it, but you ended up pouring sunshine on that mud and allowing it to dry so that you can run and leap and dance. And I love your dancing and fly. And it's how, you know, I describe your life in a poetic-ish nutshell. So fairy godmama, mind rewinding us back to your muddy years of what was going on in your world before your great spiritual awakening happened?
Well, this is the first time I'm telling the story publicly.
I'm honored, by the way. But this is one. All right, everybody, take a seat, buckle your belts, because you are in for a ride.
Yeah, it's not that interesting, but...
Oh, stop.
First, well, let me acknowledge, first of all, that that we all go through our thing, right? We all go through the fire. And to me, some of it's, you know, it's a forest fire. Some of it's, you know, it's a little burning bush or whatever. But I think that those of us who come through stuff are deeper and richer and more interesting to me. You know, I work with a lot of people. So the most important thing is to not get stuck in the story of whatever it was, because some of your listeners are super young and yet they've had, you know, they've come through some fire. You know, some of us are a little longer down the road like me, and there've been a few fires, but the one that you're talking about, I think it really began with me falling off my horse, and I tore my MCL 100%, my ACL 95%. So I ended up in a brace from my ankle to my hip. And that's not a big deal. But during that time, five people that I love died, not in the same thing, but it was like these strange coincidences, like one after another. You know, a mom in a skiing accident. My friend had this weird designer thing where his internal organs turned to wax, basically. And then his mom died. I mean, it was just like one after another. And I kept just painting that little smile on my face. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I got this. I got this. I got this. I got this. That's my middle name. I got this. And not really feeling the feelings. I also had two children, and they were in their teens. And I had a sister who was diagnosed with schizoaffective. So I was moving her into a facility and that kind of thing, basically to save her life at that point. But so I had a couple of things going on. And I, over the course of 1 year, I gained 109 pounds. And I went from a size 6 to, I have no idea, actually, might have been a 24 or 25. And it's interesting because I think that, you know, if you've ever had the burden of being obese or, you know, carrying that much weight, you know that you become invisible. And it's a weird thing to have it happen in 1 year. I went from pretty to invisible. And it was painful. It was painful for that. It was painful because I was ashamed, painful because I began to hide. And can you imagine seeing me? And then 6 months later, I'm a different person. Like, you don't recognize me when you walk past me. So a lot of self-hatred and then, you know, wanting to be a good example to my children. I mean, that went out the window, and it was really a difficult, difficult time. And I had to, and also, you know, so now at that point, I'm in my 40s. My metabolism was slowed down. I kept starting the diet. Okay, here's my last meal. And then I'm going to start the diet tomorrow. And then I kept doing that. And it's very difficult even if you have 5 pounds or 10 pounds and you have an issue, you know, you don't feel good about yourself. But this was almost like carrying another person on my back. So my feet hurt. I wouldn't get on an airplane. I was afraid the seatbelt wouldn't fit. So my entire life changed. And at one point, I kept, you know, trying to jumpstart. And at one point, my daughter, Allie, you know her, she said to me, you know, Mama, I think you just need to decide to be happy. I know, right?
Doesn't surprise me.
I know. Oh, my God. Yeah, because what if, man? What if, and this is the most profound thing, what if I never lose this weight? Am I just going to hate myself to the day I die?
am I just going to not live my life fully? Am I just going to just sit around and, you know, watch television? Like, I would get up, make them breakfast, send them off to school, and then I'd go back to bed and close all the curtains. This is not a life. And I know there are people out there that, you know, are struggling with depression and they're struggling with, you know, weight or body image or, you know, whatever they're struggling with. What I realized was it wasn't going to be one thing. It was not going to be one thing that was going to fix this. And that it was really a spiritual issue. But I call it the spiritual shotgun. I went for it on all ends, you know, therapy and acupuncture. And I hired somebody to work me out at the gym. And I, you know, over 200 pounds and my feet are killing me, but I was committed. If I get that money and I'm going to make this commitment, then I'm going to show up. So I did what I could, and it wasn't much at first. And eventually my abstinence, if you will, because I don't do diets. I refuse to do diets because diets, they don't work. You end up losing whatever it is, and then you gain another 20 pounds after that. So it was a lifestyle change. And here's what it was. Here's my abstinence. I'm not going to kill myself with food today. So yeah, that's as broad as I could possibly make it. And it was the only thing I could win at. So I had to get a win in there. So I started to live life. I mean, I even took her to Coachella and a friend. And I'm, you know, if you've ever been to Coachella, it's talk about lively, you know, the music and the costumes and the, you know, atmosphere. It's, and I'm just sitting there going, I'm going to sit under this tree over here. If anybody needs me, that's where I'm going to be. That's how I started off. And the next year I walked around, and the next year I was dancing. So basically I chose life. I said, I'm going to be happy. And if I'm not happy, I'm going to pretend I'm happy until I feel happy. So I took her to, and a friend to Hawaii, and I said, I'm just going to do everything. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to say I'm too fat. I'm not going to any of that. And I even went ziplining and they put me on a scale.
Wow.
Right? You have to be weighed before you get on I was 226 at that point. So my top weight was 252. Let me announce that to the entire planet. And now I'm 143. Yeah. And I'm, you know, if you see me on Instagram, if you've seen me on on Facebook or whatever, I am a healthy body weight. And not only a healthy body weight, but I'm super strong and I'm healthy. And that's what I decided. Because I always said, as soon as I'm thin, then I'll be happy. As soon as I'm thin, then I'll get a boyfriend. As soon as I'm thin, then I'll get that job. As soon as I'm thin, then I can wear that. As soon as.
Hello, my mind, many years of my life.
Right. So when she said to me, Mama, just be happy. I went, okay, let's cart, horse, cart. I'm just going to be happy. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to zip line. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get on an airplane. I'm going to do whatever I can to live my life. And I'm just going to, because, you know, if you think about it, I've got another 30, 40 years left, right? How do I choose to live it? And if you're 20, you know, how do you choose to live it? And 30, I mean, I work with a whole range of ages. So, you know, we all have sort of a commonality of wanting to be happy. And I'm going to talk to you about that part too, with the millennials. So I did what I needed to do just a little bit at a time. And it took me years. And I'm somebody who wants to be skinny tomorrow. So if I go on a diet today, I want to be skinny tomorrow. It was just, I want to be healthy. I just want to be healthy. I want to be able to get off the ground without pulling on the furniture. I want to be a good example to my children. And then a friend of mine died, and she was young. She was 52, and she left four girls behind and a son. And it was at the perfect time for me because I really needed to get out of myself. You know, I really needed to stop, you know, woe is me and looking at my own belly button. So I stepped up for them, you know, and so I suddenly had more children. And I, to be of service is one of the most extraordinary things a person can do, to be a giver, because they receive so much, and that's not the reason to do it, but that's what happens. So, and as I'm coaching, I'm hearing what I need to know. So I'm okay. So
I've been flapping my lips for a little bit.
No, this is a part where you're supposed to do that because we want to hear it all. Wow. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, and here's the other part that I haven't talked about at all is that, you know, I was married for 28 years to a really kind human being.
Wow, 28 years. That's as long as I've been alive.
Oh my gosh. I know. And he's still a very, very dear friend. You know, he's still my friend. And, you know, he's Allie's dad. I mean, it's so life changed like bam, bam, bam. Now, what am I going to do? Lay down and cry? Or am I going to stand up and just be happy, mama? You know? So I had to reinvent myself. And I've been coaching, you know, for a long, long time, but just a little bit because I ran his businesses. And I fell into this gig where I was traveling the world last year. And now I'm concentrating on coaching, and then I am starting the podcast. And, you know, it's just so funny when you said you should have your own podcast. I'm thinking, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that just be a hoot? But it'll never happen. I mean, you're young, you've got all this stuff, you know, la, la, la. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I'm coaching other people to live their dreams. You know, if I'm not willing to walk my talk, if I'm not willing to jump through the fear, because the only way out of fear is through it, right? If I'm not willing to do that, then what am I doing? So this may fall on its face. I don't know. But in the meantime, the process of doing this and wanting to give this to the world is huge. Pause.
Dear yogis and active peeps, Fabletics has an extra special treat for you for the Soul Tribe, gifting you two leggings for only $24. Yeah, to help you live your passion every day. Just go to fabletics.com/magic. And if you are not familiar with Fabletics, well, they're basically the Netflix of yoga pants. And this may be embarrassing to say, but they're pretty much the only thing I wear these days, as they are just so cozy and fit so well on my human shell, making my human shell feel so fit. And my favorite pair of yoga pants are still my rose-colored high-waisted Fabletics, but also my new high-waisted black capris. And oh, they look so good, they feel so good, and they make me just want to play and flow. All their pants do. And also their sports bras, they may be my new obsession, especially on my runs, because they really hold me in. But what I love most about them, besides the fact that they're, again, cozy and the best looking pants on my body, is the fact that they are constantly changing their designs all the time. And they're the most affordable quality activewear on the market. Very high quality material. It's just amazing how this aligned and Fabletics manifested in my life. Because like I said, they really are the coziest and most fitting activewear for my body. They also have this really cool VIP members program, which gives you better deals of about 50% off regular prices, plus free shipping and additional perks that you can't resist. So I actually ended up joining that. And so, Tribe, again, Fabletics is gifting you two leggings for only $24, which is a $99 value. So just visit fabletics.com/magic. I'll leave it in the show notes. That's fabletics.com/magic and pick your two pairs. There is so much in everything and all the messages that you shared, so much that we must pick apart so many pieces and expand on them. It's so interesting how close deaths, or not only death of our friends and family, but also the death of our old self together simultaneously, that for me too, death of friends and death of my old self encourage us to actually see life.
Yeah. You know, that's actually really true. There is a death of the story. I think that's the key is the death of the story. Because I had a story about how life was supposed to look. story about how parenting was supposed to look. I had a story about how long that marriage was supposed to last. I had a story. And it's not life itself in this moment that brings us pain at all. Like right now, I'm sitting here talking to you. Like, how much fun is that? But I think where the awakening comes in is when we realize that it's the story we've attached to whatever it is that's happened that causes us the pain.
Yeah, it's the stories and the expectations. And if we feel as if we can't live up to these narrations that our minds have told us we should be living, or the feeling of comparison we see when we see somebody that we want to live their life, and our mind is telling us that once we live that life, we will be happy.
Oh, I love what you said, because there's a saying, don't compare your insides to somebody else's outsides.
Oh, and also when you do that, you experience jealousy, which is really just embracing their blessings instead of embracing your own.
Yes. I was told a long time ago, if I want those things, it's like, okay, so I had this judgment about rich ladies in Mercedes Benz.
Well, I mean, you are part of the 90210. Well, you were.
but I had this with designer glasses. I had this judgment. This is a couple of decades ago. And I realized that every time I had that judgment, I was keeping myself from having what I wanted. So I began to drive by them and bless them and wave to them. Or I'd see a giant house. I go, wow, that's beautiful. They must have really worked hard to get that. That's awesome. And wow, she's thin and she's beautiful. Good for her. I bet she's really a nice person. Now, who cares if she is or not, right? But it's the narrative that I'm having in my own head. If I'm creating negative thoughts about something, I now have that negative vibration. What am I going to attract back to me? And I'm not going to get those glasses. And because secretly I wanted the car and the glasses so I could feel better about myself, right? So that all comes down to self-worth stuff. And we all have self-worth stuff as human beings. It's just, you know, some of us manage it better and some of us aren't run by it. Does it have me or do I have it? Once in a while, you know, I'll have a thought that's an old thought and I'll go, good for them. And I mean, I love my life. I love my life. And here's the thing. I love my lifestyle. And I used to think that I had to have a certain amount of money to live the lifestyle I'm living. You know, I had to be a certain place. I had to be with a certain person. I had to be, you know, whatever it was. And then I realized it goes back to just be happy. Just be what you want to be now in this moment and live the life you want to live now in this moment, whether you're making, you know, $25,000 a year or $100,000 or, you know, have you met millionaires that are miserable? Guaranteed, you know?
Oh, yeah. Billionaires.
Yeah, okay. And because all they're doing is amassing those numbers and then they're going to die alone. Well, not all of them, of course. Some of them are very vibrationally happy and we love that.
Yeah. But some of them depend on the qualitative aspects of self-worth and see it in numbers. And same with following.
And what I'm saying is be that, then you'll have that because you'll attract it because you're already being it.
Amen. And I love that your key word, it seems, your key word of what your soul, it's so interesting how simple the soul is. The more I communicate with it, I recognize how wise it is, where it really only gives me 1 to 3 words of something. And Ali could recognize that for you, it was happy. It really, like your soul just simply wants to be happy. And for me, they're both synonymous, but for me, it's peace. Mm-hmm. And happy. Like we want it all, but I think that that's like the word, you know?
Right.
So we strive for these items and we strive to have this certain body and to be skinny tomorrow or to be fit tomorrow because we think that that is what's going to make us happy and to manifest experiences that are going to make us happy. And then you realize, no, I'm just going to live and do what I want to do and be happy. And you got to experience being happy. And then you got to manifest it all.
Well, it's interesting because you bring up an extraordinary point. So thank you. The thing about being happy, right? I'm not happy all the time, right?
No, I'm not at peace all the time.
I mean, right? So, but, and it's, this is important for this particular generation too, because there's this thing where they think they should be happy all the time. And part of it is that, and you know, I'd love to talk to you, get your, pick your brain on this one. Part of it is that I think with all the electronics, that there's a generation that has not had to sit with their boredom. They've not had to sit with their discomfort and learn how to process that and move beyond it and just have that be okay, because they have this thing in their hand where they can look at it and now they can get a dopamine hit, you know, from that Instagram thing and that thing and that thing and that thing. Is for us to learn to be at peace. Now we're at your word, to be at peace with whatever it is we are feeling.
Thank you for bringing this up to our awareness and our attention, especially the millennials, as it's interesting.
They are the most magical. They're like 95 million people right now, like the biggest generation on the planet ever in history. And they're the most magical. I think, you know, vibrationally, they're coming in like the next evolution. Because I think sometimes my generation, they just don't understand. So we kind of get a bad rap with the millennials because we're giving them a bad rap about, you know what I mean? It's like, I just hold them as so magical, and that, you know, a lot of their difficulty is created by their parents, who, me, in other words, and in the way that we parented. And each generation has like a pendulum swing. Our parents parented a certain way, so we pendulum swung all the way the other way, and we did, you know, so the millennials will parent the way they parent, and then their kids will have whatever personality that they have, you know, as a group. So there's no right or wrong is what I'm trying to say. I just love them.
Well, I'll get back to what I was going to say, but one thing I do want to say to add to this is I really want to emphasize that I've noticed your passion with the millennial, which is so interesting because I've also talked to some adults who clearly have some resentment for the way and the age of the millennial and not really understanding of the new awareness that they were birthed into, and they're more consciously awake and aware than ever before. Most especially, there's so many old souls that are young humans right now, which I talked about with Ainsley MacLeod. But I know, yeah. And I know that you have just this deep connection with millennials today for whatever reason, which it's so beautiful. And I'm just wondering, why do you think that is?
That's a great question. And here's what happens. As people get older and older, you'll notice that there are some magical old people out there where they just make you smile because they're so joyful, right? That means that they have a fluid assemblage point. That means that they have their perception isn't getting stuck anywhere. A lot of people, as they age, they get more stuck and more stuck and more stuck, and they get narrower and narrower and narrower in their perception, right? And for me, that was part of the darkness coming to the light, was making the choice. I'm going to live my life absolutely as most vibrantly as I possibly can until the day I drop. And I hope I drop doing kickboxing or something. I'm just going to fall over at 90. And so I think that there are a lot of great, like, I love my generation too. I love everybody, but that's, but I think that the millennials, I think I just see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't that what we all want is to be seen? I just see them. I get them and I honor them. They don't threaten me, you know, as a soul. I'm like, yes, come on, heal the planet. We need some help here. You know? I honor them. And then the other part is having, you know, children who are millennials and, you know, Allie and you and my other goddaughters. And, you know, that's so the languaging, the language of the millennial is my natural cadence, really.
Wow.
And then just surrounding myself with people who, it doesn't matter how old they are. Like, I have people in my life that one friend, Sherry, who's 63, something like that, and just stunning. I mean, she's ridiculous, but she chooses it, you know. She just chooses it. She chooses vibrancy. We come back to choice again, because so much of life is about choice. So there's so much I want to do to help the millennial generation as they come through, because they are the biggest, and then they they are affected by the technology and that kind of thing. And the ones that I've interviewed, I did a SurveyMonkey, and I had people, you know, if they wanted to, I gave them a free hour to talk to me, and, you know, I could coach them and that kind of thing. And, but my question to them was always, what do you see as, you know, the positive and the negative of the quote unquote millennial generation? It was very interesting, you know, from their mouths. And part of it is about perfection and overachieving. And then part of it, and she said, and I quote, the other half is about being entitled. And that's where some of the bad rap's coming from, right? So you've got these, there's a perfectionism, and part of that is because my generation, the parents are praised everything, you know, everything is wonderful. Everybody gets a trophy. Come on, everybody. And then they've got to live up to that. And again, they're not maybe versed in disappointment or failure, that's not a bad thing. You know, if you look at the most extraordinarily successful people in the world, most of them have had many failures.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, so failure is not a bad thing. It doesn't tickle. You know, we all would rather not.
Actually, but, you know, I think that failure is quite a beautiful thing. It's interesting to live, which we'll talk about sometime. But I recognize for me, I have more of a fear of success than a fear of failure.
Yes.
But that's
common too.
And I recognize that in sitting, because lately I've been practicing being slow because my voice tells me to be slow. And you talked about turning it all off and just being bored, which I don't recognize. I mean, it isn't sitting in boredom in a sense, but I've been sitting in so much nothingness to reveal so many treasures that are hidden inside of myself. And I think it does help that I don't really go on social media, though I don't want to ever bash social media because I know the beautiful impact it also has on the world, but I just choose to not be a part of that at this time. But sitting in the boredom and just finding these treasures and hearing that I have this fear of success over this fear of failure. And it's because I have failed many times in life, but I've also been given the golden hand to succeed so many times, and I turn away.
It would be interesting to find out what your beliefs are attached to if I succeed. If I succeed, then. If I succeed, then. So if I succeed, what would happen?
Wow.
A message to my fellow Yomi. You don't need anything to be more beautiful than you already are, as you know. But I do understand the uncomfort of walking around with digestive issues. And I've also seen my beautiful friends that are so glowing and radiant, but they happen to have a hard time with their skin. And both of these issues show that there is something unbalanced from within. And that is why I am so, so, so happy to have Hum Nutrition Stay With Your Own Magic as one of our most supportive sponsors, and for the Yomis who have worked with their tried and true supplements and, of course, some humanisms in this human experience create more challenges. So Hum may have many different solutions to help you out with that. They have the highest quality supplements as they meticulously select the right, just the perfect micronutrients to balance the beauty from within, from the tummy issues or skin and nails and metabolism and energy and sleep, or deficiencies like B12 and vitamin D, or just a complete detox of the body. Hum has a variety of gluten-free, non-GMO products, and most of them are vegan. So for the Soul Tribers, you can receive a free nutrition report to find the right nutrients to balance your deficiencies. And you can also receive 20% off your purchase. So you'll not only be supporting your own magic by supporting our sponsor, but you'll also be supporting your shell. So just go to humnutrition.com and enter the promo code MAGIC for 20% off. That's humnutrition.com, promo code MAGIC.
Millennials, they are living in a world that is so heavily influenced by the highlights of lives that you talked about. Yes. And you know, whatever people are posting on their platforms. And self-worth today is so qualitative, depending on the number of followers. People truly see, wow, this person has 300,000 followers, they are more valuable than me.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the Instagram is changing, and I think people are waking up to it, and they're following. My recommendation always when I coach, and that what you just talked about always comes up. My recommendation is to go into their Instagram and clean it out. So get rid of all the things that are negative or they compare themselves to.
Their triggers,
I love Instagram, but I have limits. I have boundaries around it because I'm kind of like a closet millennial myself, you know. Play with this thing all day long. I only have inspirational things on there. I have, there's an artist that, something to do with Allie, and she maybe has 100 followers or something. And I only follow 130 people. She's one of them. Do you know what I mean? Because she interests me. Mm. And then the Law of Attraction, and then Wayne Dyer, who passed away, and Oprah,
of course, Oprah.
I follow you, which you don't post, so I don't see very often. And then,
you hear from me every week. It's okay.
We catch up. But so social media, I put my phone now in the other room, so I don't sleep with it in my room. I do not look at my phone until a certain time. I don't post as often as I did. But on, this is interesting. I think maybe you'll find it interesting. So the image that you see, for example, on my Instagram is what's called my attractive character, quote unquote, my attractive character.
Yes.
This is the persona that's me. Now it is me. Those words are me. Those come from my heart. And what is always something. It's not me going out to pose for an Instagram picture. I never do that. But I will take a picture of me doing something that I'm doing already. But then I thought, my friends from high school on Facebook, they're like, at first they were like, oh, look, you know, she's traveling. She's lost all that weight. She's, oh, that's great. Yay. And everyone's, and now they're like, ho, I'm bored. There she is again in a pair of leggings. Woohoo.
Really? They're like, okay, we get it.
I'm making that story up in my head.
Right.
So I go to my high school reunion, and two men came up to me and said, oh, you know, I love what you post. I read everything you post. And they don't press like, right? So I don't know that. If they hadn't come up and told me that, then I wouldn't have known that the story I was telling myself was just a story I was telling myself.
One reason why I can't wait for your podcast to really get into the ears of so many people is that you not only relate to millennials as you understand and you see them, like you said, but your voice is a voice that people in your generation are open to listening to, and that will allow them to awaken and become and live spiritually awakened, no pun intended. But it's makes the world of sense for you to no longer live in fear and hide, even though you haven't for so long, but to stop that ego voice from saying, hey, you're too old for this because you're not. You're so young. You're just getting started.
Well, you just reminded me of something else I wanted to say that was triggered by something else that you said, because I've listened to every podcast you've done. Is that I'm never going to get any younger, right? So the body I have, for example, and the face and the skin and the hair, all of that is never going to get any younger or better than it is today. So I'm going to just enjoy the heck out of it. I wish I would have done that at 25. I wish I would have done that at 20 and said, you know what? I'm really strong, and I'm beautiful. And beauty is from the inside out. And this is something, I think I told you this about Allie. We were driving down the freeway one day, and she was 15 years old, and she said something about Ariel on the Disney movie, right? And I said, you know what I love about Ariel? She goes, yes, Mom. She's as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. And then she proceeded to, like an auctioneer, rattle off everything I had ever taught her or coached her in her 15 years of life, right?
And oh my gosh. I'm literally visualizing this, and it's the most adorable picture I've ever seen.
And I'm, instead of getting upset or, you know, thinking she's being cheeky or whatever, I thought, oh my God, my job is done here. You know, she
wow.
it all, you know. Of course, and then she took it and ran to the next, you know, 14 levels.
Yes.
Or 43 levels or whatever it is.
But she's a seed of you, and she's also spreading your spirit in so many ways to the world. And it's the most beautiful picture.
Oh my God. I am so, thank you for saying that. I just look at her and I'm so inspired by her, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, me too.
Well, and I'm inspired by you as well. I mean, people who genuinely want to do good in the world, you know, but to have your own child. So to me, a parent, we're supposed to love them and feed them and shelter them and get them ready to live their adult lives. That's the job, right? So once they take their wings, and I used to call her baby bird, just like the Dr. Seuss book. Once the baby bird takes her wings and she takes off, my job, it's like, yes. You know, yes.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, so she ends up being a condor. That's awesome too. But, and that's the thing though, is that if, and you do this with people, is that you are so happy for their success, you know,
oh, yeah.
And that even if things change, like with you guys, it shifted, it changed, and you continued to love and honor each other and your journeys. I mean, that's what this is all about, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's about knowing one's soul and loving their soul no matter what.
Yeah.
And speaking of Allie, I just, because the listeners that have been here since day one, and also a lot of them who are just coming today still go back to the episodes, and everyone loves Allie. Who doesn't love Allie? She takes up so much space in my heart, and she always will. And so I know that even myself, one thing I think the listeners and I would love to hear is a story about baby Allie, because she is a unicorn, and you've always known this. And are there any like one story that comes to mind when you recognize her gifts and that she's something special?
Oh my gosh. Oh, well, oh.
I know there's many.
I know there are so many. Well, she's always been sensitive. She's always, you know, energetically sensitive. And I had her chart read when she was 2 months old, the astrological chart. And she has so many planets in Pisces. And they said, oh my God, this one came in to teach you how to be sensitive. Because
oh my God, I just got chills.
I know. I what do you mean? You know, I'm thinking, because I can be very upfront. I can be very abrupt. And she's so sensitive. But she also, she didn't smile for the first almost 3 years of her life because she was so contemplative. You know, she felt everything. And they told me this. They told me, don't feed her cow milk. She's going to be very sensitive stomach. And that energetically, you're going to have to guide her at first. Because, you know, when she walks into a room, she gets blasted by all that energy, right? And she's two. Like, how do you process that? So and she mentioned this the other day. We used to call her the Velcro baby because she'd just wrap herself around my leg and I could just, you know, walk along and she'd still be stuck on my leg. And that's how it began. And then we called her the Tamagotchi. I don't know if you remember those because.
Oh, yeah.
She was so into the spiritual realm. She was so like not here a lot of the time. She wasn't, she didn't bother to eat or, you know, I mean, she just didn't know. It's time to eat, honey. Like she would start.
Oh, so cute.
And we go, oh, snack time. She always, instead of doing something like petting puppies for community service, she wanted to do the teen hotline. I mean, things like that. That's just always been who she is.
Yeah. Well, she, like you, sees people.
Mm.
And it would be a disservice if she didn't decide to come into this world at this time and come into your womb at this time and you two be souls that really help us remind ourselves to be and see ourselves.
Oh, well, it's, you know, all of you do the same for us. I mean, she and I thank each other all the time. It's like, thank you for choosing me, sweetheart. She goes, oh, thanks for having me. Pleasure, honey.
That is so cute.
No, we're very, very grateful. And that's the other thing I started to talk to you about is that gratitude is critical. You know, if you want peace, if you want happiness, if you want to feel connected,
It's gratitude. Starts with gratitude. So when I wake up in the morning, I saw Wayne Dyer do this once, and it just hit me with the chills. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Every morning he got up and put his hands up to the sky and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's about as simple a prayer as you can get.
That's all you need. I have chills right now. It's really, as some people love to make it, I trust me, I'm someone who loves the flowery and I love the words and I love the rhythms, but really simplicity, that is all you need.
Yeah, there's so many ways to be connected, and you know, that's one of the beautiful things about your podcast is you have so many modalities, you know, so many different people on, and that really, you know, whether all of it resonates or not for people, at least you're presenting all these different things, and if we're open, you know, there's so much information out there. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. That's why I love to, I'm constantly studying and reading and listening to podcasts and learning something new. And like I said, I'm on a shamanic medicine wheel journey now and learning about, you know, my ancestors and letting go of that. And it's just,
wow.
If I stop learning, I might as well just lay down, you know?
Yeah, we're always constantly expanding our knowledge and learning. And I'm really thankful that you recognize that I bring on a ton of different types of modalities to introduce people to, including myself, because I'm curious myself and I don't know everything, but I just listen. And I, in my own mind and in my own time, I listen and then I see what resonates and I take what resonates and I just release and let go of what doesn't. And perhaps it resonates with someone else, because it doesn't matter the modality that you resonate with. It just matters that something does stick and that something does allow you to tap into your soul. And perhaps there's a reason why we all have different ways of tapping into our magic and becoming spiritually awake. And wow, I'm glad. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the neat thing. And I think it's very powerful. I don't think there's anything that hasn't already been said in the world, you know, at some point. But when Raquel says it, or Joni says it, or Allie says it, or Trevor says it, or Ainsley says it, or, you know, somebody, if they say it from their soul, and they say it from their languaging, and they say it from their experience, somebody's going to be able to hear it differently from that person and can't hear it from that person. So that was something I had to, you know, when I thought about doing the podcast, it's like, what, you know, what do I have that's new? Nothing. Nothing. It's just me, you know, and to have that be enough. So yeah, I'm just so glad that you do what you do. And I don't know that they know how seriously you take this, how much you honor the process of what you do, you know, and the research that you do and the books that you read and the questions that you come up with and, you know, the editing, all of it, because it matters so much to you. And I think it's, I just wanted to acknowledge that.
I love you so much. And I'm so excited for everything you are about to share. Like, when it comes to food fights, because you know that's something that has been a battle for me my entire life, on and off. I thrive and I fight. I thrive and I fight. And I'm just curious, do you mind walking us through a bit of what a food fight is?
You know, it used to be that I decided that this, I'm not going to eat this. And I'm not going to eat that. And I'm not going to eat that and that and that and that and that. So the minute I say I can't have something, I must have it. There's a can't have, must have trigger, right? That happens for the human being. So I'm saying I can't have it. Then suddenly at some point, there's going to be a must have. And then I'm just going to eat an entire bag of it or carton or box or whatever. And then I'm going to feel ashamed. And then I'm going to hate myself. And then I'm just going to say, well, you know, F it. And then I'm just going to be off to the races and start the whole cycle again. You know, it's this terrible triggered loop. Instead of making it this huge thing, I go, had a food fight. Just had a food fight. Had two bags of popcorn.
Yes.
Food fight. As opposed to I'm a bad, yes, terrible, horrible person. I say, okay, so what's up? You know, because there's something up. What was the trigger? What happened yesterday? What happened today? What do I need to look at? What do I need to write about? What do I need to address? Or maybe it's just a food fight. And so I will do things to help myself, to set myself up to win. So if I fight with a certain food, so there are a couple of elements to this, right? If I have a food fight with a certain food, then I no longer have the privilege of keeping that in my house. I don't bring it. So, you know, your lifestyle, your food lifestyle begins in the grocery store. If you know that you have a difficult time with, say, corn chips, then don't buy them. You know?
Yeah.
And yet that's not a can't have for me.
Right.
I mean, there's really not a can't have. But a food fight is when I either a volume or a type of food or a time of day or something like that where I don't feel good about it. And instead of making it something to do with my being and my self-worth, it's just, oh, all right. So I'll do better next time.
Yeah. And having compassion, compassion is everything for yourself in that moment. Because if I am hard on myself for when I have a moment of weakness and a food fight, and then it's a downward spiral and I begin to feel like I am not worthy enough of so much beauty. And it's funny, it has nothing to do with the food. It has nothing to do with that moment of weakness, but really there is something that is spiritually there and mentally present within us that is an energy inside of us that, you know, needs to be released. And so I'm just curious, what are some ways that we can listen and understand where this is coming from mentally and spiritually?
Well, first of all, if I could just wrap my arms around each woman or man who doesn't get how extraordinary and magical and beautiful and loving and how deserving of love they are. If I could just wrap my arms around them, you know, and maybe I can do that with my voice right now and tell you that you're loved and you are beautiful and you are seen and you're worthy and you're deserving. And any other message is complete bullshit. Seriously. And it's not your higher self. So any message that comes from your brain that tells you you're not any of those things is not your higher self. That is old programming. It's old beliefs. It's just garbage. And you can say, thanks for sharing. Now tap into the truth.
Yeah,
so that's part of it. And there's no other country that I know of that is this body conscious. It's interesting because, like I said, I've traveled the world. And I was on a boat in the Seychelles a couple of years ago, and I looked around and we're the only two Americans on the boat. And I had, you know, I still hadn't lost that last 25, 30 pounds. I was wearing board shorts, right? Covering up my thighs. There was not one that every woman on there was over, say, 50 or 60, and they were in bikinis and they were just walking around like they owned the joint. I learned so much in that one boat ride to let go of my, even at my age, right? To let go of my self-consciousness. Nobody was caring but me. And I was uncomfortable in those things, you know? And so we got back to the hotel and I took those things off and I just paraded up and down the beach.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. With, and get this, ghost white thighs, okay?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So, but it really has to do with just taking a deep breath and knowing, sweetheart, 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 baby, 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 you are so loved. You are so okay. And food is just this thing that we fuel our bodies with, and it tastes good. You know, that's all it is. It's you know?
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing that nourishes us, and it tastes good.
I used to hate food. I was so mad at it, like it was its fault.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now, yeah. I find it beautiful. It's colorful and
yeah,
crunchy, and it's...
It's true. You do recognize and embrace the colors and the textures and the taste more. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to embrace a moment when you were talking about maybe just this voice is giving you a hug right now. I visualize that first moment we met and you and I just made eye contact and it looked like you were looking at my soul.
Oh my God.
And we were just soul gazing.
Yeah.
I don't even think we said words to each other when we first met. We just soul gazed for a bit.
Allie was like, "Can we say within 20 minutes,
I had you crying because we were talking about something. And she looked at us and she's like, okay, I knew this was going to happen, but I thought it would take me today.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. Well, and you were so, I don't think you had opened up to anybody about some stuff. And now you're like this giant open book that's, you know, because it's
for the tribe.
Yeah, for the tribe, for because it's a healing thing. You realize that not only is it healing you, but it's helping other people heal and secret. We're only as sick as our secrets. That's another one of those sayings. We're only as sick as our secrets. So anybody listening out there, if you got a secret, find somebody you can trust, you know, and just let that sucker go. Oh. That's what we eat over, you know. That's what we act out over. That's what we, you know, gamble over, or you know, buy that. That new blouse or pair of pants, then I'll be happy, you know?
Yes. Oh, and so let's say we know someone that we love and they happen to have either frequent food fights or another type of addiction, like drugs, sex, porn, shopping, gambling, like you said, whatever is just not serving them, and we know it and we just see that they are spiraling down, but we love them so much. But I see it, and it's so hard to approach a person you love that is in this pain and they are using other substances to bury themselves in this pain. And how can we just approach them to alleviate them from this addiction?
Well, here's the thing. We can't alleviate that. It's a spiritual thing. Only a higher power can do that, really. Them and their higher power.
Yep.
Now, what we can do is live our best lives. And if we have an experience with an addiction or, you know, whether it's drinking or drugs or, you know, we can share our experience, strength and hope. We can say, yeah, you know, I used to black out, drink and jump on the bar stools and drive drunk. And I did all kinds of stuff. And you know, I'm lucky I didn't kill anybody. And then I found this and it's really worked for me. And, you know, it's awesome. And then just change the subject.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So here's another one. I'm going to give you another one. You ready? Here's an exclusive.
Yes.
Big bombshell coming. So I was a blackout drunk. I was that person, and I was that until I was 23 years old. And the reason I got sober is because my friend Emerson was this cool guy, man. He was just the bomb, and he was just the coolest, and he was 60 days sober, which I thought was just forever. How does anybody not drink for 60 days? And I got so drunk. I got so drunk that night and had the bartender drive me to his house, and I was screaming how much I loved him and threw up on his couch and I wanted to marry him. By the way, he's gay and I know that. And I'm still the And that was the last time I ever drank. Okay. And I've been sober for 34 years. So my entire trajectory, the trajectory of my life, changed in that moment. I was given a gift of sobriety where I just said, dear God, please, if you let me get out of this. Because it was alcohol poisoning the next day. I swear I won't drink. And then I found a 12-step thing, and which began my spiritual journey. Because that was my spiritual kindergarten. It was that thing that happened to me became the greatest gift of my life. And people would stand up and say, "I'm a grateful alcoholic." I'm like, "Yeah, grateful for what, man? I want to punch him in the head." But I get it. It changed my life. I would not have had Allie. I was 9 years sober when I had Allie.
Wow.
We would not have the relationship we had today. I would not have the life I have today. No one would have stayed married to me more than 28 minutes, let alone 28 years. You know? So the best thing you can do, and back to your question, is, you know, I live a sober life. And then somebody came to me and said, you know, my person, this, that, and the other thing, will you talk to him? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You know, and then that marriage got saved because somebody reached out, but they knew that I was whatever. So, you know, I have a lot of experience. So anybody who comes to me like for coaching, they'll say, oh my, you know, this happened. I'm like, yeah, gotcha. I get it. Lived it.
Well, there's a reason why people go to you.
I love it. I love it.
Don't you love the part about the fact that though that was so miserable and you were such a mess, now you have this message for others to live. It's almost like for me, with all of my issues and when I was well overweight and I had my horrible, like I was a blackout drunk too. And, you know, I love Z drugs. I love them. You know,
I never got into that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Then I was a mess, and now I have a message though. Mm-hmm. Like Elizabeth Gilbert says, and that's the one beautiful part takeaway from all of this is that you can now, like everybody, whether they've experienced it or not, should feel free to help heal others. But at least your experience, there's something beautiful that comes from it. And that is the fact that you can share it and help heal others.
And I hope they hear the way that we're able to share it without shame. You know, shame and guilt are 20 and 30 on the David Hawkins scale of consciousness, the vibration of 20 or 30, guilt and shame, the very, very bottom.
Wow.
Right? So unconditional love is up around 450, 500. Krishna, Buddha, and Christ are 1,000. So guilt and shame, you can hang on to it, babies. You really can, but I don't recommend it. And you don't have to, mm-hmm. You know, you've lugged that around in your, you know, emotional backpack long enough. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah. Let it go for yourself and also doing the public a great service for you to put yourself first and to love yourself. Yeah. And so you are able.
I've known people who've gotten that message at age 13. Or I had a friend who was 70 years old and he used to drink with Errol Flynn. And he was a writer and he got sober at 70. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it's,
wow,
you know, drugs,
oh,
alcohol, food, whatever it is, it, you know, the awakening happens when it does. And sometimes it's just a seed gets planted.
Mm-hmm. And you're never too young and you're never too old. The seed is there somewhere. I believe throughout your life, you're being guided in many different ways to hopefully see the seed, but sometimes we numb ourselves with all these different things to avoid seeing all these signs.
I call it anesthesia.
You call it what?
Anesthesia.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Walking anesthesias.
Yeah. What's the earliest anesthesia you can get a hold of as a child?
I don't know.
Food.
Oh my, yes. I was literally trying to think of like a prescribed drug. Right. I was like, I don't know. I was taking it very literal, okay? Yeah. Forgive me.
No. It was a very like out of the blue question. But, you know, the first thing that they can control is their, you know, their bowels. And then the next thing they can control was what goes in their mouth. It's some of it's control. And then some of it's just easing the pain. And some of us come from wild, crazy backgrounds, and some of us come from really loving, kind backgrounds. It doesn't matter, but it can be that first awakening to a spiritual journey.
And there are so many signs when you are on the right path. For example, do you mind if we dive into a bit about love? I can't let you go without talking about this moment in our time in our life that was so beautiful, so fragile. This can help people learn the power of conscious creation. So you know what story I'm talking about. Take the floor. Take it away.
Well, it was the same night. No, it was the next night after I met you. And you were about to launch your own magic. So we decided to do a whole goddess circle. And we saged and we did angel cards and we had a vegan dinner. And then we decided to write to the universe, "Dear universe." And it was about the man, the relationship we wanted to bring into our lives. Each of us wrote our own letter. And I wrote this whole thing and I carried it with me through every country I went to. And I met him, only better. And I found this crinkled, wrinkled letter in the backpack. And it was everything on there, every single thing on there. And I honestly, you know, at this point in life, it was, I have to live true to myself. I have to live true to my life. And that may be that I live the rest of it alone, but I have to be true. And so I had to get to that place. And then I wrote this letter thinking, you know, that's kind of a fun goddessy night. And then to have 6 months later,
this person walk into my life, and he sees me, you know, and I see him, and I even read the list to him. He's like, whoa.
Wow.
So yeah, is that the story you were talking about?
Oh yeah, I still remember that call and what you told me. I met the guy. I was like, what? Okay. From the list. Oh
yeah, it's so crumpled now. I typed it up and put it in my computer so I can't lose it now. You made a great point when we were talking about it. First of all, I actually do this with, and this is a little freebie for your listeners. If you're looking for a relationship, make a list of the 20 things that you want in a relationship and do it, just let it flow. And then the second part I say is go back through the list and check off all the ones you are. And then you go back and you look at the ones you're not. Those are the things that you need to fix in yourself in order to attract that man or that woman, whoever's listening. So you're going to attract into your life what it is you vibrate, what it is you are. So if you want somebody who's loving and sees you, then guess what? You've got to be loving and really see people and really listen them. You know, there's something called deep listening, which is what you're doing right now. You really listen to what I'm saying and you wait for me to finish. And then you come back with a comment that's specific to that, what I was saying. You're hearing me. If you want touch, then touch. Like if you want a hug, give a hug. It's very powerful.
And it makes the world of sense when you think about riding the vibrational wave of whatever you desire, whatever you intend to manifest. And in order to do that, you truly must just feel and be it. And then those that are aligned with that will come. I believe that with friendships. I believe that with romantic relationships. And also it's letting go of the resistance or taking action and showing the universe that you're welcoming it. Because you allowed yourself to show, you showed the universe, like, I'm welcoming love. I'm going to meet the beautiful men that you send my way in order to welcome him in. You know, you gave yourself that permission because that's scary. That's such a fear to put yourself out there.
Guess what? Because when you get a really conscious relationship, guess what you have to continue to be?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Be careful what you wish for.
But you know what? Let's just say you wouldn't settle or want anything less.
I wouldn't and I won't. And absolutely.
Same with him.
He was done. He just thought, you know, it's just never going to happen. And he's a very spiritual man who lives a very spiritual life in business. And
he's a shaman.
Yeah. Yeah. But you reminded me something in what we were just talking about is, you know, you are who you hang out with, right? So that's been said for years and years and years, but now you can look at it from a spiritual point of view. Vibrationally, you're going to be at the level of whatever your friends are. So if you want success, seek out successful people and learn from them, you know?
Yeah.
See how they think, see what they say, what they do. You want loving people, hang out with loving people, see what they do, learn from them.
Amen to that too. Wow. Are you ready for some rapid fire?
Oh gosh. Okay. Yes.
Oh gosh. Okay. Are you a morning or a night person?
Morning.
What's your morning routine like?
Oh, I get up at 5 a.m., 5:30. Somebody brings me a cup of coffee. Then we have, we do this brain thing where we just kind of do what we're doing, only it's just this metaphysical stuff or these questions of the universe. We just talk in the wee hours in the morning until the sun comes up. And then I have my breakfast and do the meditation thing. And then we work out. And then we both have the same kind of job. He does his thing and I do my thing. And then we have a walk along the beach in the afternoon. And we eat very healthfully. And he makes avocado brownies.
No.
Made with sweet potatoes and avocados. Oh my God. I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Life, your life now. I mean, your life now compared to when you fell off the horse.
I know. Oh my gosh. Two different people. Isn't that interesting? I mean, it really feels like two different lives.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I wouldn't trade it. You know,
no.
I was meant to have that life and I honor that. And I was just feeling really nostalgic and sad this morning because Halloween happened and that's one of my favorite holidays and my kids are grown and, you know, it's just, and then I remember what a wonderful life I have. Just, you know, coming back to the moment, like, everything's fabulous.
365 magical days instead of one.
Yes. That...
Are you a dog or cat person?
Dog, definitely dog. I had 4 cats and 2 dogs at one point, so I can tell.
Oh,
and
whoa.
Pigs, and I just wanted my children to have a fun life, you know?
You basically lived on a farm. They yeah, did.
In the middle of Sherman Oaks. It was awesome.
Yeah. Did Allie get along with the guinea pigs?
Oh, yeah. And then she, here's a story of Allie. She would get me up at 5 a.m. and she'd be 5 or 6 months old. And she was up. So then we'd go outside into the backyard and there's this tall, tall tree and there's a giant owl up there. And she'd say, "Hoo-hoo. Hoo hoo." So we had to go see.
No.
Every single day we'd go out and the owl would wait for us and it would just look down with its giant eyeballs and she'd look up with her giant eyeballs and that was our routine in the morning.
I think one of her spirit animals is definitely an owl.
Wow, that would make sense.
Just like a wise flying creature that knows it all and sees you in the night.
Sees through you.
Oh, but it is a Harry Potter animal, so it also makes sense.
Ooh, that's true. That's true.
Delivering messages.
Yeah.
Strawberry chocolate vanilla or Neapolitan?
Chocolate with chocolate chunks, with chocolate sauce, with chocolate on chocolate.
Oh, of course. Arctic Zero.
Yes, thank you very much.
Favorite city in the world?
Edinburgh.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Surprise.
That's right. I think you told me that when I was there.
Yeah. Blew me away. Just the feel of it. Stayed in the Castle Hotel. It's pretty amazing.
Wow. Did you go, speaking of Harry Potter, did you go into the restaurant where J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter, the first one?
Isn't she a channeler? I mean, she changed the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But there's something about Scotland and that energy with writing.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary. I think it's the ancient energy. And I'm just learning about ley lines, you know. So I'm sure they crisscross all over the place. And that on that trip, I also went to the Stonehenge location.
Yeah.
In England, it was a great trip. But that was
It also feels like a fairy is going to come fly by your ear at any point and sprinkle
pixie
dust on you.
Fairies in Galway. Yeah.
Wait, what? You did what in Galway?
There's this river that goes through Galway. And the guide said, you know, that a lot of the fairies live in through here. And so I was just talking to him, like, hey, if you can hear me.
Why did I not go to Galway?
They were building a brand new freeway in Ireland. And they ran across a fairy bush, and they're sacred. So you're not allowed to kill a fairy bush. So they had to bring out a special person to confirm that it was a fairy bush. And once it was confirmed, they had to move the freeway about 50 feet or 100 feet, which cost them another $200 million to not kill, or something like some ridiculous amount. I think that's correct, to not kill this fairy bush. So yes, people believe in fairies.
Another reason I love Ireland.
I love Ireland.
You really do feel their energy there. It's magical.
Yeah.
And not even just saying that figuratively, it truly is magical.
Such a kind people. Just, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Book you're currently reading, if any.
Oh, I just finished the one thing that my friend Raquel recommended. Your book finished it in 2 days. Favorite book would be The Four Agreements. I tell everybody I coach to read that. Do not stop, you know, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Read that book immediately and make 3x5 cards with the one agreement on each of those and keep them with you until you memorize them. So
this is my every Wednesday during our call. I'm feeling this way because yada yada. Raquel, don't take things personally.
Don't make assumptions. Be comfortable with your word.
it's the best reminder, though. Speaking about simplicity, there's so many wonderful books that, you know, are coming into bookstores and coming into the earth and making their way into many hands. So many new books every day, and all of them carry the same knowledge in a sense. But like you said, they're speaking in different colors and languages in their own. Mm-hmm. But finding just like that those five books to revisit and just remind you to listen to your soul and just to remind you of truth that really resonates with you. Mm-hmm. That's more than enough to really tap into your spiritual self.
Well, and you young ladies out there, a woman's worth. And Marianne Williamson wrote that when she was about 40 years old, and she had this awakening. You know, when you read the book, you'll understand. And she said, now, you know, this generation is so advanced spiritually that this is happening for them at 20. So that might be one you want to pick up, A Woman's Worth.
I found it on one of those carts in Kauai. They have book carts all over the place. What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a child?
A doctor.
Wow.
And so at two, my mother made me a nurse's outfit, because you got to remember that was the 1960s. I know, right? And I was so offended. I'm like, sorry, I need a stethoscope, and I'm going to be doing surgery on you, lady.
I see, that shows how old of a soul you are, even at that young age, because you recognize that you're not going to be oppressed and that you're going to grab that damn stethoscope.
That's a nice thing to say. That's right.
Favorite movie?
City Slickers was hysterical. Young Frankenstein was hysterical. Princess Bride, I loved that one. Avatar. Yes. It Happened One Night. I think it was Claudette Colbert, 1920 something or 30 something.
Define love.
Oh, unconditional seeingness and beingness.
Define God or the universe.
Source is everything. It's all energy. It's light. It's love. It's everything. If you could put your finger on sparkle, that would be source.
Oh, yes. And this is a word for you. Define happiness.
Happiness is being free. Happiness is laughing until your tummy hurts. Laughingness. I love that one. True beingness. That's all.
Yes. The universe gave you free billboards to share one message across the main highways in major cities all around the world, Joni. What would these billboards read?
Well, they would be like a half a block apart, and it would be a giant U, Y-O-U, dot, 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 R, dot, 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 love, period.
Oh.
Which you could say you are God.
Yeah.
You are source. You are love and loved.
I love that. You are loved and love. One last question. And I bet you just couldn't guess. This one is coming out of nowhere for you.
Pins and needles.
Pins and needles. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Let your light shine. So many ways to do that, but let your light shine. Everybody has their own unique light, and yours is important. You know, this world would not be what it is without you. Whatever you know, if you've got 100,000 listeners, I'm talking to every single one of you. This world would not be what it is without you. We all ripple out.
And if you don't believe her, think about the people that you love most and how unique their light is. And you see it, and just know you have that too.
Allie once said that she felt at one point, I was like a light that had a lampshade, and the lampshade had a blanket over the top of it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Often
let the light shine. So that's what I want everyone to do.
I told my dad this the other day whenever I'm sad, and I was feeling weird last week. And I know it's only a phase and I'm human and this is going to happen in my experience. But I know how to tap back in and find my light. And one song that always comes to mind whenever I'm in that state, every single time, is "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine." It does, though. It like pops in my head when I'm feeling sad and low. And I think that it's my spirit guides like reminding
me. Yeah, and we all feel, you know, we all feel those things. And that's the other thing we need to remember. We all feel all of it. Always. And we just, it's just that we have to remember, and you guys were laughing, the podcast that we did last year, "This too shall pass. This too shall
pass." Wow.
Whether it's your happiness or your sadness, this too shall pass.
Oh, like we had the most magical Christmas and you looked at us and you reminded us, "This too shall pass."
Mm-hmm.
I love your light. I honor your light.
Oh, my heart's so full right now. You are so amazing. I love you.
And I cherish this relationship to the moon and back. And it really does hold a great space in my heart. And I knew that we had such a strong and profound soul connection from the moment I heard your voice over Allie's phone in India.
Yes. Yes. We immediately connected.
Oh, yeah. It was magical. Where can everyone connect with you and find you?
Okay. So Instagram, I think it's under Joni Caldwell Lerner or Joni Lerner, L-E-R-N-E-R. And spiritualaliveness.org is the website. And that's being changed. It's being updated as we speak. And then the podcast is going to be called Spiritual Aliveness with Joni.
Yay. And I'm going to link it all in the show notes for everybody. Yay. And please DM Joni and tell her what message resonated with you, or just send her some
love.
Oh
my gosh. I would love both of those things. Anything. It's just, I love connecting with people, period. So, and the Yomis.
I know.
You know, it's taken wings. It's exactly what a parent wants to have happen. So you should be very proud.
It's your grandchild.
It's my grandchild. Okay, I can't make pride at all.
No, you definitely had a great part. You know it.
Oh, no. Just a little love, little context there.
Well, speaking of love, I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dear Yomi, thank you so much, so, so much for lending your ear. I hope something in this spoke to your soul. And will you please say hello in the Your Own Magic Facebook group to all of the Soul Tribers. And if you like this podcast, I would so love to read your review. And of course, I'll gift you a free guided meditation from yourownmagic.life, which, by the way, has many meditations, meditative imaginings, journal questions, magic monthly challenges, and just other spiritual tools for your soul. More on yourownmagic.life when you join the Soul Tribe exclusive site for $4.44 per month. I'm just thankful for us spiritualists to gather together and have a safe space to help us tap into our own magic. Anyways, I love you all so much. Thank you for listening and have a magical day.